Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Shelby's World. Hello, hello. It is another wonderful, beautiful day. How you doing, Queen?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Jesus.
It is Wednesday, April 15th. Welcome to another beautiful week, to be another day to be alive, you know, another week to get some things popping in our lives. So welcome to that. What's going on, Queen?
Nothing much, just chilling. Yeah, it started off ugly this morning, though. It was raining.
But
we needed the rain. We really did need the rain, so that's good. That's good. But other than that, I'm good. I'm alive. I'm surviving. I'm grateful, joyful, and continuing to stay humble.
That's right. It's definitely been a rainy day in the capital city. It's been pouring down like all day long. So, like off and on. So, and you're right, Queen. We do need that rain. We need some type of vitamins to help the world keep growing and thriving. So that rain is just a beautiful concept to keep us being whimsical and growing in our everyday lives. We need it, baby. We need it.
We're
going to get started today with our quote of the day. And one of the quotes is going to be from, I'm going to do two quotes today, and one of the quotes is going to be from the actual fact of the day, the person who is responsible for who we're going to discuss on the fact of the day. And our the quote is, in architecture, I had absolutely no role model. I'm happy today to be a role model for others that follow. And that is by Norma Schlarick, but it's Norma Mary Schlarick. And so I'm going to say that part. I said that quote of the day because she was actually our first African, black, African-American, whatever, whichever word you like to use and coin for that. But I like black. Mm-hmm. She was our first black woman architecture. So that's a wonderful thing. And that's where one of our quote of the days is coming from. And again, it's in architecture. I had absolutely no role model. I'm happy today to be a role model for others that follow. And the other quote of the day I wanted to, I kind of like thought of this one yesterday when I was fixing, putting the last pieces of the show together for today. And it was, it will cost lives to bring peace, and at what cost are you willing to pay? So that's kind of leading into our discussion today. And, you know, talking about the black culture and the black population. So in talking about that and dealing with our culture and our legacies, I kind of wanted to put that quote out there for today, that it will cost lives to bring peace, and at what cost are you willing to pay?
Wow.
What's up, Queen? What do you feel about that?
Wow. That first one, I like that first one. I like the first one for the simple fact, her using architect, like, you know, as an architect, that's somebody designing something.
Mm-hmm.
And you, look, and if you, look, blueprint, every blueprint is different. So you got to, literally, you got to figure it out. So it's like she had to, if the quote was pertaining to her upbringing, it's like she had to figure it out. She didn't have that role model to show her what to actually to do. And what she, it's a lot of people like that now. A lot of, every generation is people like that. Nobody don't have good role models or, I know a lot of people look at kids, look at role models like celebrities and, for, you know, people that play sports. But I can recall when I was young, we looked at, like, our teachers. Some of us still looked at sports and athletes and stuff like that, but, like, our teacher, like, I think about it, I just seen Tiffany Gardner post her mom. Ms. Gardner, God rest her soul. She was our guidance counselor. And just looking at her like, man, this is a black educated woman. You know her, what she went to school for. Like, she know her job. And she was just so warm and so inviting. I'm like, golly, she's a good role model. She's a good person to look and be look up to. But I like that quote. I like that. I really do like the first quote. I really do like the first quote because a lot of kids don't have role models to look up to. And really, I think that your role models should be your parents. If your parents, how could I put it? I don't want to say if your parents were role model material, but that don't sound right.
It's all right to me because every parent is.
You know, like, I look at when we talked last week, I look at my grandmother, my aunt, my uncles, like, I had role models in my family.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You had people outside of your household. You had other family members. You had people around you that kind of could help contribute to your role model portion. And based on her architecture, for her, architecture is, you know, is creating the blueprints too. So just to have the knowledge of even putting together the scales and the figures and the number and the data to be able to do that. And it leads us into our factor of the day. And our factor of the day is about Ms. Norma Merrick Charlotte. I think that's the way you say it. Charlotte. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to spell it Sklarek. I don't like them. When I can't spell that type of stuff, I hate it.
Charlotte.
But she was born April 15th, which is today, 1926.
Wow.
So happy birthday, Queen. Happy birthday. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
And she was deceased on February 6th, 2012. So she lived a nice long life.
Sure, Miss, long life.
Mhm. Mhm. And she was born in Harlem. And the good thing about her, she had many firsts. So I'll say that. She was an architect. She was also known as she was married three times. She was born in Harlem, died in California. Her education is through B. Arch from Columbia University School of Architecture in 1950. She also attended the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo and Japan 1978 for school, the Columbus Courthouse Center in Indiana for 1973. These are some of the structures she helped to design and build as well.
Mm-hmm.
And some of her key accomplishments is being known as a black female. Shaylerk became a well-respected project director and educator within the white male-dominated field of architecture. And that's what I know about architecture, that was a white male-dominated field.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a black woman come in and kind of help dominate it like that, that's kind of dope.
Mm-hmm.
And a fun fact is that she was called the Rosa Parks of architecture. She believed in bringing everybody along with her that aimed to be that way. And it was a beautiful thing just watching this and seeing and think, you know, learning about her. And it was something else I wanted to say.
Because I never heard of her before.
And I heard of her. I actually heard of her, but I never dug as deep into it. I didn't know about her notable first and all the things of her being like the first this and the first that, which was very interesting to me. I was like, wow, that was a good thing.
That is.
So she was the first black woman to be licensed as an architect in New York in 1954 and in California in 1962. In 1959, she became the first black woman to become a member of the American Architects National Professional Organization, the American Institute of Architects, that's AIA. In 1980, she was the first woman to be elected a fellow of the AIA. It's notable that in 1923, Paul Revere Williams became the first black architect to become a member of the AIA. So a black man was the first, he became the first black architect to be elected into that business in 1923, but she was the first black female to ever do it. So kudos, kudos, kudos.
That's amazing.
To Ms. Norma Mary.
Yes, ma'am. Salute, sister.
Yes,
salute.
Yes, salute. Yes. So we're going to get into our discussions of the day, and I kind of wanted us to talk about black wealth and black independence and black strategies in our community. And one of the first questions of today is, and this is kind of like an opinion-based question for the Queen and I, it is, what are we looking to create and what are we lacking to create and keep unity? What do you think we're lacking to create and keep unity in our community, Queen?
Confidence. Education. And not particular like going to school, but like educating ourselves on stuff, doing research, you know, finding out different and learning about different cultures as well. But confidence is the biggest thing.
And with our black and confidence, I think that's a very important point that you made with the confidence statement, because I feel with us having a lack of confidence, that gives us lack of reason to want to build in our communities and even support the people that are already in our communities doing what they're doing that's already building. Because a lack of confidence is a lack of love and a lack of self-love within self. So I definitely agree that we do lack that portion of confidence, but we have an ignoramus portion of confidence that we do seem to carry highly amongst ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that to me is like, we got a high confidence in this, but we have a low grade of confidence in the what it is to build a foundation and do those things and make those things tolerable in our community. So I like that. I like confidence.
We got confidence when it comes down to styling and dressing and all of that stuff.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Like, we set the trends, but as far as like truly like believing in yourself, motivating yourself, pushing yourself to the next level, pushing yourself to greatness that's inside of you, and not just settling for what the white man told you or what society didn't actually like told you. Oh, you can't do that. I can't do that. Watch me.
I'm gonna show you better than I can tell you. Very true. Because I honestly think that with lack of confidence comes lack of character. I feel like we have a lack of. We're missing character. And the reason why I say character is because we care too much about what other cultures are doing. We care too much about what they think of us and how they feel about us and in ways that it shouldn't even matter. Because if we had 100% faith in who we are and what we actually bring to this nation, because we're the creators of anything great in this nation. And if we carried on our confidence and our strategies and our everyday lives, and not just keep being pawns in the game of life and actually start directing the game of life, things would be so much different. So I think we're lacking so much character because of that. We're just out here living.
That's true. I mean, really out here just living.
We just out here living.
You gotta want you. But that go back to the quote. The first part of the quote, like that goes back to that. The like, how? If they don't have.
Well, that's the thing. We don't. Everything ain't gonna come with a blueprint. But it's people that already have blueprints for this situation. They already have figured out what needs to be done. We just don't have enough belief in ourselves to carry out what is needed to be done. Like, literally, we do not have that confidence, which builds good character. We don't have it.
And you have to start at an early age. I believe you can get it at any time if you put your mind to it, but if you start a child out at an early age with just motivating them, telling, oh, you good, you excellent, you can do this, you can do that, and really driving that in them and boosting that confidence every time they step out the door, every time, wherever they go in the house, giving them that confidence, I really believe we can move as a as a unit, as a community. But, you know, we know that's not possible because every household is not going to do that. Every parent is not going to do that. But I really believe if we did start as a community at an early age, putting that and instilling that into our young generation, that they would really be powerful the older they get. And even at that young age, because age don't have nothing to do with what you can do.
No, age don't have nothing to do with
stuff.
It. Some of the some of the people who created some of the best things in life, they were young, so age definitely got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, age don't got nothing to do with it. But I say this generation here, like our kids, like y'all have a blueprint. There's so many hurdles that our grandmothers and our ancestors then jumped over for us to live a lifestyle that we really can live if we really want it. But that lack of confidence, and fear will keep you from a lot of stuff in life. Fear will stop you from a lot of stuff. Yeah, and it has. It really has.
It really has. Now
we're together.
I think what I'm most upset about is that we're still so disbanded. And I know there are in a lot of ways there are a lot of things happening that doesn't show that we're disbanded. But because, you know, sometimes doing stuff and working in your community, you feel as if everybody is doing something for the better good based on what they're doing. But a lot of people are doing things just to do, to make them look a certain kind of way, to make them look good. Right, to benefit them and make them look a certain way in the community. And it doesn't end up helping the situation. And I have a problem with that. I have a problem with us having so many wonderful ways to lay the platform and produce good from what we're working on, and we're not doing that. I have a problem with that. But the reason why I'm asking this question is because if we're lacking certain things in our community, and we know what it is that we're lacking, and all we need to do is, you know, all we have to do is go about things a certain way to make sure that we're no longer lacking. Why are we not doing that? Like, what do we have to do to get on one accord? What do we have to do? Because getting on one accord is easier said than done.
Yeah. And I think a lot has to do with trust.
Yeah.
Trusting people. We don't, you know, as a community, you know,
we don't trust each other.
Yeah. We don't trust
each other. The trust
don't fall
from not trusting. Yeah, it ain't from lack of trust. It's who we willing to trust.
And then some people then got screwed over so much and lied to so much that they don't trust nobody. But the trust play a big part in a lot when it comes down to relationships. It don't matter what type of relationship it is. If a person can't trust you, they really don't want to have nothing to do with you.
To do with you, right.
And your word, as my grandma always say, your word is everything. If I can't trust what you say, then, you know, like your word, you got to mean what you say.
You got to mean it.
You got to say what you say. What is it? Say what you mean.
Mean what you say. You got to.
We're gonna tell them kids. We're gonna be out here doing blase squaze with y'all, making sure pushing y'all to y'all greatness. then we ain't out there doing it. We right here just slipping. Them kids looking at us like, well, y'all say y'all was going to do it, but y'all ain't done nothing. Here y'all come 4 or 5 years later talking about this what y'all finna do. Why should I trust y'all when y'all was here 5 years ago and y'all ain't do it then? So what make y'all, what make us think that you're going to do it now?
Correct.
And then, you know, kids got their parents and they, and them niggas ain't going to do nothing.
Have them in their ear real strong.
Real strong. Real strong.
And they ain't doing nothing.
That part. And some of them looking at their parents saying to themselves as they speak, well, what you doing? You ain't doing nothing.
I'm telling you.
But you my parent, so I guess I got to trust you.
You can't even make these kids, you can't even make these kids feel bad no more about who they look up to and who they believe in, because you ain't giving them a reason to believe in you as a parent. So a lot of times now these kids don't even care about how their parents feel. The kids are so much more different than us now. They're a whole lot more outspoken. So the things that they feel and say, they're going to say. They're going to say. They're going to not. They don't hold back much. Regardless of if it's ignorance or not, it's going to come out of their mouth. And we just don't, regardless of the fact, they're just like us. They're just way more outspoken than us.
It's just some stuff we know we wouldn't even say to our parents. Like, you say what?
We wouldn't even just some stuff. We wouldn't even say, we wouldn't even begin to even breathe some of the things these kids.
Look, not even say something back when your parents say something to you. You say something back if you want to. You might catch a shoe at you real quick or something.
It's crazy.
But these kids, they do. They really speak their mind. They voice their opinions a lot. Some I see, and I think their parents give them a little bit too much, letting them voice their opinions, because then when that child get in front of other people and say something to that parent, and the other parents are like, you let your child say that to you? So, some, they speak a little too much.
You know, some, let me have for them out here. It's like sad, because it's real sad, because I do think that we as a community have given up learning how to discipline. Our discipline is like come from either be nice or hollering, you know. And we have forgotten that there are other ways to get through to a child. Or not even that we've forgotten. We have never learned the ways to get through to a child. And I think that a lot of us are so consumed with the fact, oh, I got to be his ass type of thing, and forget that you ain't doing nothing but creating more of a problem, always thinking that the answer is just an ass whooping. It's other ways. Because you can create a monster constantly being the ass of a child. Serial killer.
Definitely. A child, you know, you have some kids that I have a close family friend, and this young man is getting charged with murder now. 16 years old. Happened right here in Tallahassee. Getting charged with murder, but he was living with the grandmother. The grandma raised him. She took him from the mom, because the mom had all of these other kids, and she thought what was better for him, which was what it was better for him to go live with the grandmother. But this kid wanted the love from both of his parents, his mom and his dad, which he was living with the dad's mom. But he was just so downright disrespectful. And every time he went over to the mom house, if her other kids did stuff, it was always, it's him, because he here. That's why my other boys did this. That's why my other boys doing this. And two other kids older than him. Or y'all think he better because he lives in love. Yeah, and he wanted that love and affection from his parents. and he didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't getting it.
And smart. I mean, oh my God.
Was he getting
God,
any love and affection from his grandparents?
From his grandmother, he was. Everything he needed, wanted. You know how some kids just don't realize that they got it so good over here at the other house? But they want to be with the other. They want to be at the other house so bad because they feel like they just having a good time, and you know. But over here, you got to go to church, you got to go to school, you got to be obedient and stuff like that. But you, when you go over here to this other house with your siblings and stuff, they running all wild like crazy. They out all times of night. They doing this, they doing that. You know, kids. Oh man, like I want to. That's where I want to be, but not realizing that you got it made over there at your grandma's house. You got a clean house. You ain't got to share no room, no bathroom with nobody. You getting a meal. You getting three meals every day. You getting the things that you need and some
missing?
Of the things that you want.
What was he missing with his mom? What type of situation was
he
going to set too many kids?
I really don't know, but I do know that she was very mean to him. She was very mean to him. And I don't know, you know how some women, they can't stand the dad so much, so they can't stand,
that's
almost like they can't stand that child.
He had a different father or something.
Yeah. All the kids got different fathers.
Okay.
That's the thing, like her kids was all, I don't think none of her kids had the same dad, and she got nine kids.
Okay. I was just,
but
you know,
that,
and that might be the situation
just,
because of the dad, and now he's getting ready to serve a murder charge.
Getting ready to serve a murder charge, but when I say the young man smart, book smart, athletic, could play just about every sport from baseball to football to basketball, track and field, like. But that, I tell people all the time, that love from your parents
is important for a kid.
It's very important for a kid. Even if that, I believe, even if he had just the love from the mother more than the father, he would have been okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who he really craved for. He really craved for her attention. Really,
I just wonder why it just wasn't there. Why she just didn't? And like you said, I just think a lot of it had to do with the father. And then he getting treated so well
at the grandma's house.
He gets treated so well at his grandma's house, so that also another benefit to the fact that why he could have been treated so hostile by her.
Yeah, she was like, oh, y'all think that she, because she did used to say that they think that he was all of that. No, his grandmother just opened her eyes and seen that she wanted her grandson to have a better life. She didn't know that it was going to end up turning out like this. But as a young boy, three, four years old, she felt like, well, you got all these kids. Let me take him. That'll be one less child you have to worry about.
And I'll take care of him. But if she didn't want that to happen, she shouldn't have let him go. Don't handle him differently because his father's side love him. That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy,
but and that come back to him. That come back to lack of confidence.
Him as a kid,
even though he was talented in sports,
now he's
going to
be great.
Gone the rest of his life, almost.
Gone.
He may end up doing 30 some years. We don't know yet. We don't know yet because I don't think the person that he shot, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to actually look up the article and see if it's an update on it. I don't think the young lady died, but I'm not sure if she did, if she's alive or if she passed. I know she was still alive and stuff, but she was still in the hospital and stuff like that, but I'm not sure if she ended up passing or what, but. You know, this generation.
It's tragic all around.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. But that confidence and that love from those parents and really probably more of the mom than the dad.
Yeah. People always say boys need their dads, they need their moms too.
Yeah. Most definitely. We need kids need both parents.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
We know a lot of us have survived without one or the other, but we need both parents because it's something that we all lacking without having both of those parents. It's something that we miss without having both of those parents a part of our life like we should have.
Yeah.
It's designed like it's supposed to be.
Correct.
But I look at even kids that have both parents, and baby, I'm like, what's your issue? But you can have both parents in the household and still not have that connection with one of those parents.
Yeah, because it don't matter about who you have around you. It matter about what
mm-hmm.
you're getting from what you have around you. Because if there's no love, you can, there's grandmothers that take the place of parents all the time. Grandparents
mm-hmm.
and stuff, they take the place, or aunts and uncles that have to step in when family members die or people on drugs and, you know, things of that nature. Things happen. So that type of stuff happens all the time. And I think that the biggest situation is just having, just at least just having somebody. Because
yeah.
It's too many of us don't have nobody.
That's true. That is definitely true. That is definitely
yeah.
true.
And then these kids be having somebody who's willing to step up in the absence of other people, and they still don't know how to accept that person.
Mm-mm.
They still don't know how to accept that love, that appreciation, that value, because they've already, based on things that have already happened in their life, they're already conditioned to have so much attitude and anger, so they fuel with negativity already. So,
mm-hmm.
so much be going on in the lives of us, and you know, and that kind of goes back to the question: you know, what are we lacking to create, to keep unity in our communities? We're lacking so much. It's so much, and but some of the basic things that we are lacking is that that character and that Lord, about to drop my phone, Queen.
And then, you know,
and that confidence.
Think about in the 1950s and 60s and how, I always say this about segregation. Some people was like, why you say that? Because before I came to Tallahassee, I was in a small little town, you know, smaller than Quincy, smaller than Monticello, or we might be the same size Monticello. Okay, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knew each other. Like, I'm walking down the street, you know my grandparents. You
mm-hmm.
you might not know who my mama is out of my grandma's children, but you know my grandparents.
Who that grandma
like,
is, yes, ma'am. Yes,
that's Dora A.B. That's Dora A.B. granddaughter right there. That one
mm-hmm.
of them turn, one of them out of them six turn of theirs. So I couldn't walk down the street and be disobedient to nobody
mm-hmm.
walking down that street, because, baby, before I made it back to my grandma's house, her phone was already ringing.
Ringing, sweetheart.
Already ringing. And she ain't even have to, that person that I was disrespectful to, trust me, the other little person next door then came over there and jacked me up.
Exactly. Exactly.
That village is not there anymore.
Nope.
It's not there anymore. It's definitely not there anymore. Because when you had that village there, baby, you weren't finna get out of character. Try it if
all.
You want to. Cause
and
Ms.
there was so
Ms.
many reasons
Johnson,
why you couldn't get out of character.
That part. And then you ain't want to embarrass your family.
Man,
your family name. Yes, your family name meant everything. You are, and I tell my kids, I used to always tell my kids, when you walk up out this door, let me tell you something. I might not have my daddy last name, but you represent the Johnson family, the White family, which is your daddy family, and every family, your grandma family, which is still green, but everybody.
Mm-hmm.
When you step up out this door, you represent from me on down to every generation that then came before you.
That's right.
So
that's
watch
right.
yourself.
That's right.
Watch yourself. And that's most definitely what we lack in our community. That unity, being there for each other. You ain't getting mad. Shelby ain't getting mad at me when I say something to her girls if I didn't see them at being disobedient. Oh, Queen, they did what? Nope. Thank you. Thank you
me
for checking them, because I'm going to check them later.
That's right.
Thank you for checking them.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. We ain't getting mad, but see, you check somebody's child these days, and this happened. This actually happened to me. I checked somebody's child because I heard how that child was being disrespectful to her mom. I mean, her and her mom was fighting like they was chicks out on the street that didn't like each other. And I seen this little girl, and she seen me. Hey, Miss Candace, all smiling. You would think the child is innocent as all outdoors. And I told her, I said, baby, I said, let me tell you something. Don't be coming over here smiling, talking about, hey, Miss Candace, hi. I said, I heard about you being disrespectful to your mama and your great-grandma. I say, baby, let me tell you something. I say, you ain't going to be blessed doing that. You need to make sure you apologize. You should not be disrespecting your mama, and especially not your great-grandma. That's not ladylike. That's not cute, honey. That's not cute at all. You cutting your blessing by being disrespectful. Do you know that little girl, she got mad, went and told her mama, and her mama got mad. It wasn't your place to say, it wasn't her place to say that to my child. The rest of y'all weren't checking them.
They'd be upset, Queen. They'd be really upset about
it. I have stopped talking to one of my friends because of that.
Well, they didn't. The problem is that they're going to have to deal with their child on their terms. Then that's just why they had to be, because it's gonna happen. You're gonna have to do something. You're gonna have to.
Disrespectful, but no union.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't.
This community.
No. No.
That's
well,
exactly
let
why.
Me say. Let me say this. We had a next. Our next question. Our next topic on there is: are Black people doing better today than we did a decade ago? So I got some data that one of our Freedom Train cohorts provided for me, Mr. Patrick Irvine. That's our data man. And about a decade ago, consumer expenditure, which is data that was provided from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they did a survey. And within the survey, they generated some data and got some information. And that information that was provided was based on the information provided combined from 2010 to 2012. The average pre-tax income for the total U.S. population was $63,935 annually. However, black households within the same reference period reported average pre-tax income of $45,287. Now, this is all growth. The distribution of black household pre-tax income is skewed. Most households sampled are on the lower end of the income continuum. In fact, more than 35% of black households' pre-tax income fall between $12,500 and $37,500. Very low. And so the average black household contains 2.5 people. In addition, black households average a car and a half, maybe. Most of these households were renters living in apartments or flats. Their dwellings average 5 to 5.25 bedrooms, including finished living rooms and not including baths, maybe a bath and a half. That's how black households' annual expenditure averaged $36,000. That's what we spent a year which was 79.8% of their average income before taxes. So most of our data and most of our money goes to make somebody else wealthy. Right. It goes to housing, food supplies, things of that nature, transportation, things to kind of like live by. So about 60% of our income goes to that. And then about 30 to 40% of our income goes to extracurricular activities, including things that we use as personal care, cash contributions, insurance, pensions, etc. There, you can see why there's a dynamic in the Black community of why we're on the lower end of the spectrum. But in order to, and that's just number wise, we have to do more in our community.
We do.
We have to start supporting more businesses. We have to start building more. We have to have more stock. We have to start investing. We have to start doing things that are going to actually make our community grow versus just living in our community. It's so much more we need to be doing.
Wow. I'm looking at this chart when the that from the link you sent me and how it has, like, insurance, miscellaneous expenses, cash, reading, education, personal care, and how, man, look, apparel and services, $1,000, household, $13,000 and some dollars and some change. They even got alcohol beverages on here, tobacco and smoking supplies, plus food. Like, it's a lot of money that we spend a lot on food. They say you spend like 0.7% on alcohol, well, on tobacco products. Wow.
And that's actually not even a lot.
$5,000, nope. Transportation, $5,000. You might as well say $6,000 on transportation.
I can't wait to see the numbers, the current numbers. I can't wait till we're provided the current data.
Because this is from 2010 to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
This chart is saying for the Black household in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Which they say that something that I was reading, they did say that we have increased. But we still living up on the white America. Well, let me see. What was that data that I seen? Because Asians was the top one.
Of course.
Out of everybody, they was actually number one. The Asians was, and then it was white America, and then Hispanics, then Blacks.
Mm.
Mm-mm. So, we still at the bottom.
Still.
We are still.
So, Queen, what do you see? What are your thoughts on creating a better urban community? What are you beyond building, having the commonality of having confidence? What do you see as being something that we need to do?
Like I was saying earlier, like we need to educate ourselves more, read more, learn about different things. And so if we could support each other as far as business-wise, I mean truly support the people in your community that is the same color as you, same race, background, all of that, if we could truly support one another, I do believe that we could rise up to where we really want to be. But we have to really support one another. Like, okay, we know Shelby cooks. So let me go over here. So let me go on to McDonald's. Let me go over here. If Shelby's selling plates, let me go over here and spend my money with Shelby. If Jane over here sewing clothes and making clothes, instead of me going to the mall, let me just go over here and tell Jane, look, Jane, make me a couple of suits, girl. Like, if our dollar could just rotate, even if it just rotates
in the community
20 times in the community, we can build our community up. we would not support one another. We'd rather go buy Gucci, Tommy, all this, and all of that stuff is nice. Like, we was brought up wearing Tommy and all that stuff is nice. But why we can't support our homegirl that's doing the same thing as that as them high end designers?
Well, I'm gonna say this. At this point, I'm ready to start leaving people behind if it takes that. I'm not. I used to always say. I used to always say that I want everybody to come. I want everybody to come out. But at this point, we're at a crucial point now. Mm-hmm. Everybody ain't going to make it.
Mm-mm.
Everybody ain't going to make mm-hmm. it. And we're literally at that point now where life is about making decisions that are going to, where you have to start thinking more about what's going to affect your family and the people who you know who are worth this fight. Because there's so many people that are not worth this fight. They're not willing to stand up and do anything to help the next person, but they're willing to stand there with their hands out begging. Mm-hmm. Everybody is not going to come. Everybody is not going to make it. When they say that about your journey in life, that's about everything. Everybody's not going to make it. I've been at that point of knowing that, but I think I'm just finally at that acceptance point with it, because I didn't want to accept that at first. I didn't want to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Mm-mm-mm.
I didn't want to accept that it's going to be a lot of us that are not going to make it.
That's true, though. That is definitely true.
Yeah. So
my grandma always say, everybody can't go everywhere you're going.
They can't. I'm sorry, Queen.
Yeah, everybody can't go everywhere you're going.
And it's sad. We know it.
You're going to have to live. You got to leave by the wayside. You don't want to. But they ain't going where you're going. And especially if they ain't got the mindset that you have to get there. We try to bring, we could try to pull them along, but one of my homegirls.
They can't come.
Start her business, want to open her business. Well, not even want to. She is going to open this business that she then put out the plans for. Somebody else, one of her homegirls that she used to be out there hanging with, want to invest.
Mm.
Okay. You can invest. You want to be a part of this? Okay. We can do this together. One had more drive than the other. Look, I'll give you your money back. You go do what you got to do. Cause you definitely don't see the vision that I see. Cause see, you still talking negative back here. When I see the vision, but you want to be a part of the vision, but you can't continue to talk negative. You trying to be a part of something new. Of course, this is something that now one of y'all never did before.
Right.
But one got more drive. One see the light on the end of the tunnel. She willing to work her behind off to get to that light that she know once she get there, everything is going to be good. Business going to be successful. But you so stuck back here. Well, I don't know if that's going to work. Well, maybe I just give you the money and you do it. No, no. You say you want to do something different. Here's your opportunity to do something different. But you got to do you got to put the work behind it. You got to put the drive behind it. You got to put the confidence behind it. You got to put them hours and everything behind it. Even when you don't want to get up and go do it, you still got to get up and go do it. Man, look, do you think P. Diddy got what he at by sleeping? Do you think Bob Johnson got what he at with BET by sleeping? No, these people did not get where they at by sitting on their behind thinking about all the what ifs.
The what ifs.
Especially Diddy. People be talking that mess about Diddy, but baby, look, if I could just go sit with, if I could just, look, he if he would just mentor me for a week, baby, book him. Baby, look, cool. That I this man got some drive.
Oh, yeah?
Like, could I just come sit up on you? I mean, just a week. Look, what I need, I can just intern for a week. Just show me. Just show me, because I got that drive, but just show me. Like, I want to learn from you. I want to, like, literally learn from you. And even just people around, even people just around here that you see in our community that's moving, doing stuff. It's like, man, look. And you can't just, you know, you can't hang around a person and they got the drive and they going, and if that don't make you hungry too, baby, right. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I just say for myself, even being around my pastor, Pastor Nikki, being around, man, look, that lady make you hungry because she hungry. And she, did you say you want to do such and such? Look, do I need to call you every day to make you do what you need to do?
Make sure
do
you
I need to make you
your...
accountable?
Yep.
Like, she be on you. Like, didn't you say you was going to do such and such? Why you ain't did it yet? What you waiting on? Now, she ain't going to waste her time with you. If she see, okay, now, you wasting my time, you wasting your time, all right, I'm going to just let you do what you want to do. But just being around her and see how hard she go, you be like, man, please, look. Man, I can't be hanging with you if I ain't trying to go hard. I need to, matter of fact, let me go four past you. Because you making me hungry for what I'm trying to do. But you, like, them the type of, I'm like, look, this is the season, that them the type of people I'm trying to be around. Like, baby, I need you. Look, so I need you to motivate me just by me looking at you. You motivate me to be like, let me go hard for J2 Couture. Let me do what
right.
I need to do. Because,
that's right.
Baby, look.
That's right, queen. That's right.
Look, whoo. Baby, look, I'm finna be 40 next year, baby. I'm trying to be on trips. I'm like my mama. I need to be on the laptop somewhere remote handling my business, but still on vacation,
right.
But still working
still
as well.
Still on vacation. And just checking in on the business, honestly. Just checking in on the business.
Just checking
Making sure
in, girl.
Going
look.
All right.
We need to hear Cash App. What is it? Cash App, Square, and PayPal dinging off at the same time. Ding, bing, 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 bing. Look, everything. Email just coming. Look, ooh, I got cash. Ooh, girl. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, child. Like, what? Like, that's the type of drive. And I, like I say, when we go back to segregation and all of that, sometimes I wish it wouldn't have never happened. And I wasn't even born in that era, but it seemed like our people.
I never understood what we were thinking about, but I think that we were so focused on trying to have, we wanted the education and the things that everybody else was afforded. We didn't know how far this was going to go and what it was going to do to us culturally as a people.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know all that. So I
commend
our people for doing what they did, but so many things could have been done differently.
Mm-hmm. So much drive back then as a community. Like, look, is it even any more first? Anything else? Is it anything first to be in it? Like, the first black man or the first, like, is it any more first? Because all the first has been done just about.
We did all that.
Like, so it's just like, just reading about that stuff from back then, it's like people just had, from Harlem Renaissance, our people had so much drive, so much ambition.
We had a lot of issues with each other, but that was what you had within any culture. You're going to have issues within culture. You're going to have all
ambition.
Of that, but we had a lot going on that was so positive and so wonderful that it was hard to even worry about the negative stuff that was going on because we was building nations. We was actually building legacies, and we just got to get refocused on that. So I really wanted us – I was hoping that today because I want us to get more in-depth and bring Pat and Joe on to kind of talk more about legacy.
Oh, yes.
have the professor. Is very, very knowledgeable of those that type of stuff. And I would love to have him and Mo on to kind of have them discuss things of that nature, kind of make this conversation more in depth. Because I really feel like there's
so much.
This got
to be one of these conversations that we got to be in front of the camera.
Yeah,
it's one of those conversations.
It's a really good conversation that we need to have. So I really want that to happen. I'm going to see how I can set that up so we can get that on as an interview where we can get everybody on and we can speak and talk about that because building this economic benefactor in the black community is way, way more important than we are letting ourselves to believe. And I think that we really need to get more in tune with that type of stuff and find out how we can grow from it because we need it. This is important. We need it. So, Queen, you got any sign-off messages for today? Anything you want to say?
Man, y'all, look, as I always say, stay encouraged. Keep the faith. Keep pushing towards those goals. You might have them written down on paper. It's always good to write what you're trying to do down so you can just start checking that stuff off. But look, people, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. If nobody don't believe in you, if you believe in yourself, trust me, people will start believing in you. People, they see when you don't believe in yourself, that's why they don't believe in you. But when you believe in yourself and people can actually see that you believe in yourself, people will start supporting you and pushing you. You'll feel it. Trust me, I'm a believer. I know it for myself because I know how I was at one point. But when I start showing that confidence, because I lost my confidence at one point. But when I start showing it again, people be wanting to know. People be wanting to know who you are.
Yeah.
Who is that? Let me check this chick out. Let me check this king out. People, when you show that confidence and you walk with your head up high, it's just like a magnet.
Yeah.
So trust me when I tell you this. I'm speaking from experience. I will not tell you this as I'm not speaking from experience. Man, absorb that confidence. Like the word of God said, he did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power and a sound mind. Man, you better walk by 2 Timothy and trust and believe what he says. Because he did not give us the spirit of fear. We cannot continue to live in fear because by us living in fear, we will end up dying and not living our purpose that we was here. And you want them to say something good on your obituary when you leave here. You want them accolades to be presented on that obituary when you die, when you decease. You want them accolades. You want to be able to say that you left a legacy for your children to be proud of, for your grandchildren and every generation after you. It might not be no big conglomerate legacy, but it's a legacy for your family to be like, dang, my mama, my daddy, look, they did that. My auntie, you know, my cousin, they did that. So, man, look, walk by faith, y'all. Stop being afraid, especially older generation, younger generation, because it don't matter what your age is. You can still pursue your dreams no matter what age you are. Age is just a number. It's just a number. To me, you young, what's in your heart. You young in heart, as they say. So, man, look. Rise that confidence up. Look, start them affirmations. Start listening to them positive affirmations. Trust me. Listen to them every day on an everyday basis, 3 times a day. You'll start walking in them affirmations that you're listening to and speaking to yourself. People will be looking at you, girl, where you got that confidence from? Like, you didn't have that 2 months ago. I'm telling you. People see it. But y'all continue to stay safe with everything that's going on. If you don't have to leave out your house, don't leave out your house. But you need to go get your basic necessities. But stay safe because Trust me, this too shall pass. We don't know when, but it will be passing. But hey,
right.
I love you. Stay positive. Be joyful even during this time. Figure out what you need to do, what your next plan is while you're home just chilling if you ain't got to work. Figure it out. So when something like this may happen again, because this is all of our first times really going through this, like going through something like this as the whole world.
Yeah.
So we might be alive when something like this happens again. We don't know. But figure what you need to figure out as far as especially when it comes down to our finances and stuff. We need to be better with our finances and having stuff that we need and having the finances that we need saved. So when stuff like this happens, we don't have to be like, oh, my God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? You have your little security nest that you ain't really around here worrying about how you going to do something because you have that security nest right there for you. But y'all stay encouraged. Stay blessed. Hey, I love you. Queen C.
Well, Queen said it all, y'all. She said, like, literally everything. That was a mouthful. We appreciate your positive words, Queen. Y'all always stay blessed up, stay safe. And like she said, stay encouraged. Enjoy y'all Wednesday. We'll check back in with y'all next week. Keep your heads up.
Shelby's World Podcast. Hey,
Shelby's World Podcast. Love y'all. We like y'all. Our sponsors for the day, and as always, will be Shelby's Bistro, J2Couture.
Yes.
Y'all make sure y'all check us out on Instagram and check out her website as well. Queen, spit that out for them real quick.
www.j2couture.com. Hey, the link is on IG on my J2Couture page, so check it out. Look, put some new stuff on the website. So, yes, check us out, y'all. Support our brands and everything that me and Queen Shelby is doing. Like, we're doing some positive things, so, you know, support us so we can support y'all also. And hit us up on IG. Let us know what you got so we can support you.
We're
about supporting one another. So let us know what you got going on. If you do T-shirts, whatever you may do. Like, hey, I got a T-shirt person, but hey, I might just want to come to you just because. You know? So, you know, let us know. If we don't know, we can't support you. So, you know, hit us up on IG, y'all. Love y'all.
Hit us up.
We'll see y'all.
Hit us up. We love y'all. Take care. Keep your hands up. Keep yourself lifted. All that good stuff. We'll catch you next time. We like you. We love you. Take care. Peace out, Queen.
Peace.